Take your Bibles, if you would, and find the book of Revelation, chapter number 4. I was driving home last night. My wife said, "Well, what did you preach on?" I told her, and she said, "You did what?" She said, "You never behave yourself when I'm not there." Amen. But no, she didn't. What she really said was, "I was praying for you, honey, and I thought, he ought to preach on this tonight." And is exactly where God put my heart. You know what I love about that? 44 and a half years, God's knit our hearts together. We almost know what each other's thinking at times. Amen. And it's exciting to see the Lord work. Revelation chapter 4. Now, it's Friday night. We can relax, can't we? Don't have to get up early tomorrow. Yay. How many's going to be here tomorrow at 10 o'clock? Okay, I'm getting up at 9:30. It'll be all right, amen. No, not really, but I'm excited about tomorrow. And what I remember, brothers, the first time I was here, and you really messed up my mind because you were saying we're going to do 2K on Saturday. You kept saying 2K. I'm thinking, I am not running 2 kilometers. Forget this, man. I don't care what it takes. I'm not doing it. And then you explained it. But I remember that the next day, there's a young man came back, sat on that back row, came to church because somebody put one of those door hangers on his door. So it does work, folks. And so don't miss tomorrow. Tomorrow can be an exciting time. Who knows who God would put you in the pathway of. Let me tell you this story, and I may have said it here before, and I'll get to preach in just a minute. You say, does it benefit to pass out of track? Does it benefit to do what we're going to do tomorrow? I was in the Philippines, good night, it's been 20 some years ago now, and I had the opportunity to go with a Philippine national, and we went way back through these mountains into this remote village. I mean, it took us 5 or 6 hours on this motorcycle to get back into this village. And so we get back there, and he said, "Preacher, as far as I know," he said, "you're the first white man that's ever been here, let alone preacher." And so we get back there, and we started talking to the village elder and told him why we were there, because we wanted to, you know, talk to them about God. We didn't know what they knew or nothing. And so the guy reaches in his pocket and he says, "Did you come to tell us that what's in this is true?" And he handed me this piece of paper, and it was a copy of God's Simple Plan of Salvation track. He said, 9 years ago, I was off this mountain in the city down there to do something, and a man walked by and handed me that track and said, "You need to read this." He said, "I picked it up, put it in my pocket. He said, "We came back up on this mountain." He said, "We've been sitting up here for 9 years looking at this, wondering in our hearts, is this true?" I said, "Yes, sir, we come to tell you that what's in that track is true." He said, "Sit down, sir." And they went through that entire village and gathered everybody that they could find to the center of that village. He held up that piece of that little track and he said, "Finally, God has sent us somebody to tell us what's in this track is true." He said, "Now, sir, we have nothing else to do the rest of the day." And myself and that Philippine national, we said, we want to make sure they understand it all. So we basically started in Genesis with creation and walked them through the Bible. And an hour and a half later, we give an invitation for people to get saved. And people started coming to get saved, Brother Becker. And I started talking to them, and they quoted the verses in that track back to me, because they had been reading it and passing it around and had memorized it. And over 300 people were saved that day. You say, "Well, that's because you went." No, it's because somebody gave out a tract and planted a seed. All I did was go and reap the harvest. What we do tomorrow is as vital as anything this church will do. Amen. Because you never know who you're planting the seed in their life. Amen. So I'm excited about it. Revelation chapter 4. Let's get in there. Revelation chapter 4. You read with me in verse number 9. And it says, "And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. I don't know about you, but I'm excited to go to heaven. Amen. If the rapture would occur and we get out here tonight, it'd be fine with me. Amen. But and it's exciting to me when you think about what is going to happen when we get to heaven. And in Revelation chapter 4, he has given us insight in what is going on in heaven right now. Now, this is not eternity future. If you understand your Bible and you have your Bible laid out right, in Revelation chapter 4, he's not talking about eternity future in the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem. He's not talking about all that. He is talking about right now. What is going on in heaven? And what is going on in heaven right now is there's a throne and there's a God that sits upon that throne. And out of that throne, the Bible said, proceedeth lightnings and thunder. And around that throne are four created beasts that stand there day after day after day and say glory and honor and praise. You know what, folks? It's exciting when you think that God wants to be praised and wants to be glorified so much. He created four beings. There was five originally. We won't get into all that theology. Amen. He created those four beasts around that throne to every hour of every day in heaven. There, those beasts continue not continually day and night saying glory and honor and praise to him that sat upon the throne. God wants to be praised. God wants to be glorified. And in these verses, you find a very key word. God wants to be honored. You read verse number 9, he says, And when these beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever ever, then the 24 elders, and that's another whole group of people that we could talk about, they begin to say in verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. We were created for God's pleasure. Amen. We weren't created for our pleasure. We were created for God's pleasure. And so you catch a phrase in here. Both of these groups of beings and group of people are saying the same thing. Glory and honor unto him that is on the throne. God wants to be honored. Look in chapter 5. In chapter 5, look at this passage of Scripture. In chapter 5, in verse number 12. Now, I'm going to really tie this together in a minute. In chapter 5, in verse number 12, he talks about, well, verse number 11, And behold, and I heard a voice from many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. God wants to be honored. Look at one other verse. We're going to look at several verses. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter number 19. Heaven is going to be all about glorifying and honoring God. Revelation chapter 19. And look at this verse. Revelation chapter 19. And in verse number 6. And he said, I heard it as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. I'm looking forward to that day, amen. Because I'm on that side, amen. I'm part of the bride, amen. I'm part of that that's going to be married to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does he say? He said, Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto him. I believe, and I've probably said it here before preaching, everything God does in our life in this world has a reason and a purpose. And that reason and the purpose is to teach us a spiritual lesson. Amen? And faith promise, as we teach it, or grace giving, whatever you want to term it, a lot of people call it a lot of things, but God takes this matter of giving in our lives, and He is trying to teach us something. He's trying to teach us faith. That it takes faith to tithe, does it not? Amen? I mean, yes, it is obedience, and yes, it is something we're required to do, but it takes faith to take 10% of your income and give it away to, and knowing that you could use it to do something else. So you're trusting God to take care of it, amen? And then it takes a little more faith to give the faith promise and take a step farther and give a little bit more. It takes more faith. It takes a more sacrifice to do that. But in all this, God is teaching us something. He's teaching us to honor Him. Go to Proverbs chapter number 3. Go to Proverbs chapter number 3. Now, watch this. Proverbs chapter number 3. I don't have time. We could look at several passages of Scripture. But in Proverbs chapter number 3, what does he say here to us in Proverbs chapter number 3? He says in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Now watch something. Notice your grammar in this passage of Scripture. Honor the Lord with thy what? Comma. And the first fruits of all thy increase. God in our giving to Him is not just teaching us faith. He's not just teaching us sacrifice. He is teaching us the matter of honor. Now, I don't have time, but you go through your Bible. You'll find verses, Hebrews 13, verse 4 says that marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled, and whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. We're to honor our marriage commitment. Amen? Boy, say amen or I'm going to get in trouble, amen, after last night. We're to honor that. You get to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7. The Bible says that we as husbands are to honor our wives. We're to dwell with them according to knowledge. And we're to honor them as the weaker vessel. So we're to honor our wives, not just our marriage, but our wives. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 2, what does the Bible command? He said, honor thy father and mother all the days of thy life. So we're to honor our marriage, we're to honor our wives, we're to honor our parents. And then it says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 3 that we're to honor the widows indeed. Now, smile at me, I'm going somewhere, amen. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17, I ought to go there and preach a while, but we're to honor the man of God. And he that labors in the word is to be counted worthy of double honor. Amen? God is trying to teach us to honor Him. 1 Peter chapter 2 says we're to honor the king. Interesting one that you ought to go to and read sometime is Romans chapter 13. He said, give honor unto whom honor is due. Funniest thing I saw in a while back, you know, my dad always told me you open the door for a lady. Amen. So I you know, it doesn't matter where I'm at. If I'm going in somewhere and there's a lady coming, I stop, open the door for her. I was with this preacher and we went to go in this place and this lady, that was a very loose term we used, was coming in to go and he just walked right in. And she said, don't you open the door for ladies? He said, I do when I see one, and kept right on walking. I didn't let her know that I was with him about that time, amen. But we are to give honor to whom honor is due. We had supper with the Beckers tonight. I really enjoyed the fellowship. And one of the greatest struggles my wife is going through right now is you're to honor your parents. And on top of her parents being her parents, they were probably the greatest godly influence in our lives that we've had. My father-in-law's in heaven. My mother-in-law's at home. She's 84 years old. You got those opening stages of dementia, and she has to have things done for her. And she deserves the honor. She does. Not just because she's mom, but she's earned that right. Faithful in her tithing, faithful in her missions giving, faithful in her service for God. Taught Sunday school for 44 years. We're to give honor to whom honor is due. You say, preacher, why is this? What's this have to do with missions? God takes the simple things of our life and He's teaching us something. He's teaching us to honor Him. And I'm here to tell you what, folks, if you cannot take that substance that's in your hand and honor God with it, there's some other things He's going to require of you, amen, besides that physical substance that's in your life. And God is, through faith promise, teaching you to honor Him, not just to walk by faith and not just to make sacrifices, just to understand and believe in your heart that it's an honor to give to God. It's an honor to serve God. It's an honor to be able to be part of what God is doing. You look at this verse, he said, honor the Lord with thy substance. Look back, if you would, at another verse of Scripture that goes with that, Psalms 139, just a few verses before that. You say, why is that so important? Hey, listen, the easiest thing in the world that we can give in our life is what's in this pocket right there, that $10. That material substance right there is the easiest thing in the world we can give. You know why? Because we can go out tomorrow and make some more. We can go out tomorrow and get some more. We can go home and maybe have some more. But he's not just talking about this. This is leading you down the road to a whole lot more. And what does he say? He says that to us in Psalms 139 in verse number 15. He says, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. And I should count them, that they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. He said God knew his substance, his entire makeup, when he was being formed in his mother's womb. God knew his substance. So when you begin to think about the word substance in Proverbs chapter 3, he just didn't say honor the Lord with your money. He said he honored the Lord with thy substance. So this thing of giving is leading us down a path of something a whole lot greater and a whole lot deeper and a whole lot more involved than just putting a little money in an offering plate. It's honoring God with everything we are. And when we get to that point, amen, what we're teaching these kids, you say, preacher, why is it so important we give to Faith Promise? And can I tell you, folks that have children at home, it shouldn't be a secret to your children what mom and dad are giving to Faith Promise. They should be part of the conversation. They should understand that when mom and dad put that envelope in the offering on Sunday morning, that it's what it is and what it's doing, because you're teaching them a spiritual lesson that we're to honor God with every fiber of our entire substance. And our problem is this in America today. I believe we have preached on giving, and I'm forgiving, and we're preached on Faith Promise so much that we have taught a group of people how to soothe their spiritual conscience by putting a few dollars in an offering plate, when that's not the end, that's the beginning. That God wants more than your pocketbook, He wants your heart. He wants more than your pocketbook, He wants your mind. He wants more than your pocketbook, He wants your hands. He wants more than your pocketbook, He wants your feet. He wants every fiber of your substance to be willing to be honorable to Him in everything. So He said, honor the Lord with thy substance. That's a physical thing. Somebody asked me, said, you ever have trouble being unfaithful to your wife? No. Number one, her dad said he'd kill me. Amen. Number two, she said she would and she can shoot. Amen. And number three, a preacher a long time ago told me, he said, honor the marriage. Honor the wife. So I'm to honor her with every fiber of my substance. Huh? Wow. Why do kids grow up and never, ever give their heart to Christ? Because they've never seen mom and dad honor God with everything they have. You know how I know that? Because we draw lines in the sand with God. All right, God, I'll go this far. You can have everything is about me, but you can't have my sports. You can have everything about me, but you can't have my hobbies. You can have everything about me, but this. And we draw a line in the sand with God. And God said, I don't want just part of it. I want every fiber of your substance to honor me. Huh? So faith promise starts you down that road. Because then he said, when he said, honor the Lord with thy substance, and then he said, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Honor the Lord with everything you have, everything of your substance that is being now. And when God gives you more, honor Him with that. And you say, preacher, why is that so important? Hey, I get a raise, I should give more. Yes, but if you get increased in knowledge in your work with God, you ought to honor God with that. You get an increase in your life and in the ability to do something. It may not make sense to you, but when all this, the height of all this illness was going on, and thank God, hopefully we're on the downside of it, but when this is all going on, the thing that aggravated me more than anything else, I couldn't do what I wanted to do. And how many times in a hospital room have you heard somebody say, well, preacher, when I get out of here, I'm coming to church. Okay, God just increased you. He got you out of the hospital. Now honor God with that. But guys that can't honor God with a pay increase is not going to honor God with their increase in their lives. Huh? Did you have any children when you got married, brother? So God increased you. So your job now is to honor God with that increase. You know what we did with our kids when they came to our house? The first Sunday that they could go to church, we took them to an altar. We didn't. We didn't have a baby dedication. And what we had a parent dedication. Mom and I got down on our knees with them babies at an altar and said, God, they're yours. Do with them whatever you want. Now, the other day, I asked God if he's sure he wanted that one in New Hampshire. Because I got a granddaughter growing up talking like a Yankee. Going pocket car. Hello? I can't imagine your parents coming from the Philippines to Australia never thinking that God would take you all the way to America to find a wife and a family and then bring you back. But they had to be willing to let you go. They had to be willing to honor God with you. Huh? All right, now go on. I got one more thought for you. So we're to honor God with all of our substance. Now go to Hebrews chapter 11. So with that thinking of honoring God with all of our substance, we see the physical part of it when he says the first fruits of all thine increase, with the first fruits of all thine increase. But now when you get to Hebrews chapter 11, he said we're to honor God with all of our substance, right? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What is, when you think on a physical side, okay, now hold on, don't lose me, I'll be done. On the physical side, what do you, when you think of increase, it's something that you're going to get, but did you see it coming? No. Did you see it happening? No. I'll give you a personal illustration. You may get in trouble for doing this, but I'm not as young as I used to be, and with the problems I have, I love to deer hunt. Amen. Got a few deer hunters around here. Amen. Got some that ought to get right. Amen. But and in West Virginia, there is not enough flat land to deer hunt on. Amen. So if you're going to hunt on West Virginia, you got to go up hills, down hills. You got to drag deers over hills, down hills, in and hollows, and everything else. And I told God, I said, man, I love this, and it's a great time in my life. The hunting season in the fall is the time I just take. I go set in a deer stand, and God and I have a wonderful time. But I said, if I shoot that deer, it's hard to get it out of there. And I said, I sure would like to have an ATV. Amen. So, Brother Becker, every time God would give me a little something extra, I'd put it back, you know, and because I'm not going in debt for it. Amen. And so I'm getting this little nest egg of money, you know, but it's been about a year. Hunting season's coming around again, you know. And I was preaching in this church, and I said, I've just decided sometimes what we want and what God wants isn't on the same page. Amen? And I said, I told him a story about saving that money, and I said, so I've just about decided to give that money away and just go on. This guy walks up to me after, he said, I got a deal for you. He said, how much money do you need to buy that? I told him. He goes, come talk to me tonight. I went to him after the service that night. He said, come on, walk back here. He said, pulled this envelope out. He said, in this envelope is enough money for you to buy that thing. He said, now, if you decide to give it away, put that money in whoever you're going to give it to, and I'll be part of that. But if you decide to buy it, guess what? Here you go. I did not see that coming. Hello? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So God increased my faith. God increased my faith because I didn't see that coming. Does that make sense to anybody but me? See, he said, we're to honor the Lord with thy substance, what you have, and the first fruits of all thine increase. When you get something a farther ahead that you didn't see coming, now faith operates the same way. Faith is the evidence, is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Can I tell you that when God does things like that, and I'll finish this story in case you all just want to know, I bought the ATV. I'm a carnal person, amen. I actually had enough money to buy a side-by-side. It was used. It's got a bunch of miles on it, but it's all right, amen. And my grandkids love driving it, so it had a secondary benefit, amen. But there's a bigger situation in front of me. It's called the Heirloom Seed Summit. You know what? I think God did that for me so that I would trust him and honor him in something a whole lot bigger. Hello? So it's not just physical. This honor thing becomes spiritual. Let me try to explain to you this way and I'm done. You know what I love about coming here? When I talk to your pastor, ask, how's the church doing? He starts talking about, well, this family's been coming and this family's getting baptized. Thank you, preacher. You're not talking about the new siding on your building and you know, preacher, we're, you know, we're going to put new carpet in the auditorium, and we're getting, which all that's wonderful, but that's not what this is all about. It's about the spiritual part. And sometimes I think we don't see God give us more spiritually, just like we don't see God give us more physically, because we don't honor Him with the first fruits of what He gives us. Is that ringing a bell with anybody but me? And say, well, and here's our problem. See, we give God a faith promise, and then all of a sudden we have a need, and God doesn't just swoop in and give us a brand new car. And we say, well, see, God let me down. No, God didn't let you down. He said He'd take care of your needs. Amen. And when God supplies that need, then you honor Him with that in the first fruits of that increase. Then God's going to supply the next need, and God's going to supply the next need. And you wake up down the road and seeing all the wondrous things God has done, not just physically, but spiritually. And you grow, and the ministry grows, and the church grows, and God does great and wondrous things because we've honored Him. I actually was in a church, Brother Coley, that I didn't know what to do. They explained to me that they had so much money in their bank accounts, and if they didn't use so much of it every year, that they would lose so much money. Somebody put it in a trust or something, so they would get all this money every year, and if they didn't use it, they didn't get next year's allotment. So for 2 years in a row, they dug up their parking lot and repaved it because they couldn't find something else to do with it. And I went, call me! I could give you a list! There was enough money there to send a missionary to the field, fully supported. I'm thinking, to me, that's not honoring to God. You're not honoring God with the first fruits of your increase. Huh? I know a church where one of the faithful men of the church never thought he had much, never really just looked like he, you know, had a lot of worldly possessions, and he didn't. But when he died, he left a sizable amount of money to the church. With this stipulation, he divided among the missionaries. Huh? That's somebody to me that's honored God. Not just with his substance of the physical realm, but the substance of his spiritual life. We got a lot of guys like you, Brother Maley, and I'm not picking on you. Young families that are in Bible college. Now what are we going to do? If we don't watch out, they end up sitting on pews of churches for the next 20 years. Because we've never learned to honor God. God's given you an education. Now honor Him with it. You know more today than you knew 2 years ago about God and that Bible. Now honor Him with it. Go do something. Huh? When we get to heaven, you know what He wants us to do? Honor Him. So we need to start now.